I want to consider with you this evening the way to Zion. The way to Zion. As you know, people of God, most of you who have been here the past weeks, we have been considering the theme of heaven. We've been looking at the subject of heaven. And what I want to consider with you tonight is the way to heaven. Zion is a heavenly city. And we saw that heaven was pictured as a city. Heaven is called in the Bible a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem, or the heavenly Zion. And here, under the glorious return of the tribes of Israel from captivity, is shown to us the blessedness and the glory of the gospel dispensation that we live in today by showing to us the way to heaven. We looked at this morning, this chapter, the verses 3 through to 6, and we saw that this has all commenced with the advent of Christ. The prophet says, your God is coming, your God will come, he will save you. How will we know when he comes? The lame man will leap, the tongue of the dumb will sing, the blind shall be, eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And we saw that Jesus did those very miracles, thus confirming that he was the God who was to come. And so when he came, he did these things. But he came not only to do these miracles. He came to open up a way to heaven. That's why he came. You'll remember whenever Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The most holy place pictured heaven. And everybody was closed out by the veil, and no one could go in. No one could go into the divine presence. No one could go in to fellowship with God to see the glory. But you see, when Jesus died, the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. If man had done it, he'd have done it from the bottom to the top. But God did it. That mighty height of the veil, it was rent from the top to the bottom. It was a very thick veil. A dozen horses couldn't have torn it in two. But God did. Thereby signifying that the way to God had been made and opened. And that's what we have in this imagery tonight. A highway to Zion has been opened. This God has come. This God has come to save us. This God who has made the eyes of the blind to see and the ears of the deaf to be unstopped. This God has prepared a highway. And that highway is the highway into heaven itself. A new and a living way. And so this prophecy predicts that way. That's what this is about, these verses. You're not to look for some literal road in Israel, going to some mountain in Jerusalem. That's not what we're looking for in this prophecy. It's far greater than that. It's way beyond that. This highway that this Redeemer has made is a way right into the presence of God. And so I consider with you, as part of our theme in the study of heaven, I consider with you tonight the way to heaven, or the way to Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, prepared and opened by Jesus Christ himself. I want you to notice that it is an highway. Verse 8, an highway shall be there. It is an interesting word. It is, as our translators have translated it, a highway. It's a cast up way. It's a very visible way. It's prominent. It stands out. It is not concealed. It is not hidden. It's not an obscure little lane, or it's not a concealed little path for just a few, but it's a highway. It's lifted up, it's risen, it's exalted, it's plain, and it's visible. It's the motorway to glory. And so that word is an excellent translation of this road. That way is Christ. He is the highway to glory. He is himself the way. He said it, I am the way. He is lifted up. You remember how he said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I, if I be raised up, if I be a highway, if I be an exalted way, if I be a lifted up way, I will draw all men unto me. And I'll bring them to glory, because I'm the highway. That's what Jesus is saying when he says these words. He is lifted up. Jesus is lifted up to be seen. He is lifted up to be seen as the only way. The Father lifts him up. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus lifts himself up. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. He lifts himself up. And then the Holy Spirit lifts Christ up. That's all the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't lift up the saints. He doesn't lift up men. He lifts up Christ. He lifts up the Son of God. Jesus said concerning the Spirit of God, when he's come, he will take the things of myself and he'll show them to you. He is my Spirit who will exalt me. And so he's a highway lifted up. Christ is lifted up. And that's what the church is to do. It lifts up Christ. It doesn't lift up the sacraments. And it doesn't lift up the church itself. And it doesn't lift up any man in the church. The church's business is to lift up Christ. And that's what the preacher does. We preach Christ crucified. We lift him up. He's the only way to heaven. There's none other. We lift him up. The preacher lifts him up. And every Christian who ever talks about the way of salvation is always lifting up Jesus. He's the way. He's the highway. He's lifted up. And so the sense is that it is a promoted way. It is a published way. It is an advertised way. And Jesus has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And to publish the good news. And to lift up Christ. The way back to God. It's a return, you notice. Because we left God whenever we sinned in our father Adam. But there's a glorious return. But only through Jesus Christ. This highway gives us the return. And so we return as the ransomed of the Lord. And so it's a highway that is visible and published and lifted up and advertised throughout all the world and made known in the Holy Scriptures. And I want you to notice it's the only way, because it says, "And highway shall be there." It doesn't say, "And highways shall be there, and many roads shall be there, and there'll be different ways to Zion." No, there's only one way, "And highway." It will be called the way of holiness. There is no other way. I do not read the word in plural. I read of only one way. I read not that any saint is that way. I read not that any church is that way. But I read in the Bible concerning that way. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the way." You know, that is the most exclusive claim that anyone could ever make. "I am the way," Jesus says. The all-exclusive way. I'm the only way. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But by me, that's exclusive. You know, Christianity is an exclusive religion. We say without doubt, Jesus is the only way. "No man comes unto the Father but by me." And so no saint is the way, and no church is the way. The church, it is true, is on the way, but it is not the way. Christ is the way, the all-exclusive way, for there is one God and one mediator, just one, between God and man, God in heaven and man on earth. There's only one mediator, one Deus man, one way betwixt us, Christ Jesus. It is then the only way that is referred to in the text. It is an authoritative way. God himself, you see, has come and prepared it. It's an highway because it's a royal way. It has been made by the king. God himself has come down. Verse 4, be strong, fear not, your God will come. He will come and save you. And then verse 8, and an highway shall be there, because this God has come and has made this way, prepared the way. He has broken up the ground. He has built the way. He has opened it himself. In the shedding of his blood, the King of glory has made this way. It's a royal way. It's a divine way. It's the way to heaven. And the King of heaven himself had to come down to make it. You see, in the Bible, men have been trying to make their way up to heaven. You'll remember how they built the Tower of Babel. They built the Tower of Babel, and we'll build a Tower of Babel whose top may reach unto heaven, that it may get us closer to God somehow. And you'll know how the people, whenever they worship their idols, they worship their idols on the top of the mountains, so that they would be, as it were, nearer heaven, nearer God. So they had their man-made religion. But you see, man-made religion can't get you to God. God has to come down. God has to come down and to make the way himself. And that's what this chapter is about. This God comes down and he makes this highway. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, coming to make this highway, coming to consecrate a way to glory. Isn't that what the apostle says in Hebrews? He has made a new and a living way through the veil, by the sacrifice of himself. He came to open up heaven, to make a way. It is an authoritative way because it comes from God himself. It is royal. It is a perfect and complete way. You will notice that it reaches to Zion. It comes down to us in our captivity. It comes down to us in our bondage. It comes down to us in our mystical Babylon. In all our man-made religion, it comes down to us. It comes down to us and it reaches to Zion. It goes the whole way from us to Zion itself. And all the people that are traveling on it are leaving Babylon, they're leaving this world, and they're traveling to Zion, and it reaches Zion. It's a perfect way. It's a complete way. What a road Jesus has compacted together for sinners to travel on. He has built it himself. He has built it well. He has completed the work. You remember the last words that Jesus said before he committed himself into his Father's hand, and as the veil of the temple was rent in two at his death. You remember the last words that Jesus said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." What did he mean, "It is finished"? The way is finished. The road to God is completed. The work is all done. The highway is now laid. It is finished. It's a completed road, a completed way. You have nothing to do, sinner, but to travel on it. It is a perfect and complete way. But alas, it was a very costly way. It was priceless. It was a way that silver and gold could not buy. It was a way that all the money in the world could not purchase. It was, and it cost very much money to make roads. You know, in our economic times, the roadworks have got a wee bit less because they take a lot of money. But all the money in the world couldn't build this highway to Zion. This road cost sweat and toil. This road cost labor and tears. This road cost grief and sorrow. This road cost more than silver and gold. It cost. What do you think it cost? It cost something we couldn't buy it with. How expensive is this road? How costly is this way? Well, you will notice that the people on this way are called something. They are called there in verse 9, the redeemed. They are the redeemed. They shall walk there. None else do, just the redeemed. The redeemed walk there. And also in verse 10, you are told something else about them. They are the ransomed. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. Nobody else, just the ransomed. Nobody else, just the redeemed. They're the only ones. The redeemed and the ransomed. These are names of the people that are on it and that will get to the very end of it and none other. They are on it because they are redeemed and they are ransomed. Those words imply a cost. Those words imply a price. You know, the ransomed and the redeemed cost a price. What was that price? Well, let me show you. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It doesn't say all, but for many. Every one of them will be ransomed. Every one of them will be redeemed. But you see what the cost was? What he gave? His life. He gave his life. That's what the gospel is about. Christ died for our sins. He purchased us with the sacrifice of himself. Silver and gold could not ransom us. We preach Christ crucified. That was the cost. That was the cost. So he gave his life for these ransomed ones who are on the way to Zion. And then you will notice, if we turn to another verse, the verse that we read in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And the verse 18, the redeemed. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, they're not bought with that, from your vain lifestyle, your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, that's what all people are doing. They're just following the tradition of your fathers. But that'll never get you to heaven. You have to be redeemed. And the thing that redeems us, what redeems us? Verse 19, we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's the cost. The blood of Christ has redeemed us. Don't we sing it? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Yes, it was a costly way. It was a priceless way. It was built with the blood of the Son of God, with the sweat and toil and labors of the sacrifice of Calvary. It was built in Gethsemane, and it was built on the cross. It was priceless. How does the apostle reverently put it? The precious. Precious blood of Christ. That was the cost. The Bible calls it a living way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. This is where the presence of God is. This is where heaven is. We have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? It means that the way into the holiest of all has been bought by the blood of Christ. And we've boldness to go in. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to make that way. We don't have to work that way. It's been bought and it's been opened. And if we have our faith in Jesus, we can go right in. Right in with boldness. That's a wonderful thing, you know. You who believe in Jesus can go right into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. But you'll notice what the way is called. It's a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us, that is to say, his flesh. And so it's a new and a living way. You see, it's not part of the old way. It's not part of the old creation. It's not part of nature. Nature did not make this way. And it had nothing to do with the first creation of God, whenever God made everything in 6 days. No! Whenever Adam sinned, there was no way. There was no way in creation, and there was no way in nature back to God. There had to be a new way. And Jesus brought that new way. And it's a living way. Because he who made that way, though he died, he is not dead. Though he gave his life a ransom, he is not consumed by death. He rose again from the dead. He is the way, and he's alive forevermore. He is a living way. It's not a dead way. It's a living way because he rose. A living way because the way himself lives. It's a living way because Jesus lives. Because Christ the life lives. I was dead, he says, but now I live. I am alive forevermore. I am the way. He is the living way. And you need a relationship with that living Savior. It is a way that dealt with the arch enemy of our souls. You will observe in verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up on that way. There is no beast on that way, no lion on that way. What kind of way is this, wherein no lion is found thereon, and wherein no ravenous beast goes up thereupon? What kind of way is this? It's a safe way. It's a sure way. It's a way in which no lion of your soul will ever get you off it. No accuser of the brethren to prevent us reaching glory. No devil to stop us in our march to the heavenly Zion, because the lion has been dealt with by Jesus. He has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so no lion is in that way. Even though he goes about like a roaring lion, and he will roar at those who are on the way, but he cannot touch them. And he cannot stop them getting to glory. They are the redeemed. They are the ransomed. They will make the end of the journey because there's no lion in the way. The devil's been destroyed. Bless the Lord for the work of the cross. No devil to keep us out of heaven. Christ hath destroyed him. The seed of the woman has come and crushed the serpent's head. He has been overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And so they are a blessed and happy bunch of pilgrims who walk this way. The devil may tempt them. The devil may allure them. But he cannot intercept us on our way to glory. Jesus has saved us because he has redeemed us. And he will bring us into our heavenly rest. Oh, blessed and happy pilgrim are you who is on this way marching to Zion. What does the Bible say? We are more than overcomers through him that loved us. We are victors and conquerors because Jesus has cleared the way of any ravenous beast. We shall give the glory of it all unto Jesus. And so we shall walk the way safely to the end. Today we die, but you see, we will still make the end, because this ravenous beast of death has been dealt with as well. Bought by blood, even death is no longer the same to us, because this ravenous beast of death that swallows up all men, Jesus has took his sting away as far as we are concerned. And so when we die, the Bible says we sleep in Jesus. Our souls go to be with him, but our bodies sleep and rest in the grave until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again and he resurrects them. Even death has been dealt with by Jesus. No ravenous beast goes there up upon, for Jesus has made this way, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so our Savior protects us all the way as our shield, our refuge, our fortress, our high tower, our defense. If God be for us, who can be against us? This ravenous beast. Oh, happy people that are on this way to heaven in Christ. Blessed are the dead. Not all the dead. No. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Die in Christ. Die on the way. Die in this highway. Blessed are they. The redeemed. The ransomed. And so, Christ comes out. And he builds this highway. It's a plain and simple way. Did you observe how it is described in verse 8 at the end? The wayfaring men, that's us, though fools, shall not err therein. Even the simple people, even the most humble wayfaring man, though he's a fool, he doesn't have a degree, he never went to school, he maybe can't read, but the gospel has come to him and told him he's a sinner, and the Spirit of the Lord has come to him and says, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Will you have him as your Savior? And the fool says, yes, I'll have him as my Savior. Well, he hasn't got any education, and he hasn't got any great degrees, and he's no great abilities, but he has his faith in Jesus. And so such a wayfaring man, even though he's a fool, he shall not err therein. He knows Christ. He'll make the end. It is a simple way, you see. There is nothing complex about it. You don't have to be an intellectual giant. You don't have to be a great theologian. You don't have to be a minister or a monk or a scholar to walk this way. Fools can't err therein. It doesn't require philosophy or science to walk on it. It is for the humble, for the simple people, for the poor and needy sinner who has a simple faith in Jesus. This way is very simple. It is the most simple way of all. Repent, repent, repent of your sins. Believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's simple, isn't it? The wayfaring man, though a fool, cannot err in that. He just has to leave his sins. He just has to turn his back on the world. He just has to embrace Christ and say, Lord Jesus, will you be my Savior and bring me to glory? That's all the sinner has to do. Just believe and turn. It is a simple way. The way need only be entered. The feet need only be placed on it. One need only walk on it. The life need only be committed to that highway. Union to Jesus. The feet planted on the way. Walking in Christ. That's all there has to be for the sinner. Just a union between his way, Christ, and the sinner, a union. Whenever you walk on a way to some place, There is a union between you and the road. You are walking on the road. You have contact with the road. And that's all a sinner needs to get to heaven. Contact with Christ. Union to Jesus. The child of God can say, I'm standing on Christ. I have my feet on a firm foundation. I'm walking in Jesus. It's simple. And so there are others who will reject the simplicity of that way. And they would rather walk the broad ways that lead to destruction. They would rather follow the path of tradition or the figment of their own imagination. But it is all very simple to the believer. Jesus says, I am the way, and the believer just believes that. And he has no trouble saying in his mind, there is no other way, only Jesus. It is simple. It is a well-trodden way as well. This is a sermon in itself. We could look at how many have trodden this way. It was opened, you know, at the very beginning of the world, after the fall. It was immediately opened in the Garden of Eden. Because God clothed Adam and Eve, and he brought them the promise of the gospel and told them about the seed of the woman who would come. And he told them they could be saved through the seed of that woman, the virgin-born Son of God. And so the way was opened then. And many have trodden it since. Abel walked that way. He was one of the early ones to walk that way. And then there was our father Abraham. And there was Moses. And there was the prophets. And there were many, many more. You see, the way was opened a long time ago. It wasn't paid for a long time ago. No. But it was opened. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son to pay for the way. It had to be paid. And God, in covenant with the Son, knew that it would be paid. But in the meantime, until the fullness of time come, people have trodden that way and been on that way, and that way has been going to glory. But in the fullness of time, Jesus laid down the cost of it all in his precious blood. Boys, and after that, how many have got onto that way because the Spirit of God was poured out. And it was as if there was a great awakening, and the Gentiles were pouring in, and the Gentiles are still pouring in, and all the nations are flowing on that way up to the Zion, up to this mountain which has been exalted above the other mountains. And you're on this way, as I am on this way too, along with thousands and thousands of others, Gentile fellow believers who have embraced Jesus Christ. It is a well-trodden way then. I want you to notice also what it is called. There's a signpost on the way. There is a name for the way. There is no mistaking the name of this way. It has a signpost on it. It is called something. It shall be called. It shall be called the way of holiness. That's its name. You know, we give highways very strange names. M1, A1, A23, so on and so forth. Just little labels, little numbers that don't really have any significance. But you see, this way, this one way back to God, God the Holy Spirit has put a big signpost at the very start of it. And he said, this way is called, it's called the way of holiness. That's what it's called. The way of holiness. Let it be known by everyone. That's its name. Let us be sure about this, my fellow sinner. You can go on this way, but you cannot live as you like. You cannot go on this way and do as you please. You cannot be on this way and chart the world after you. Be not deceived. This is its nature. It is the way of holiness. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. It is the way of holiness. Its builder, you see, is holy. It is built by the holy righteousness unto death of Jesus Christ. It is a way that saves us out of the world. It's a way that brings us out of sin. It's a way that brings us into the most holy place in the universe, into the very presence of the holy God. It couldn't be anything else but the holy way. The way of holiness. Its people are a holy people. Its people are a peculiar holy people. A holy God, a holy Savior, a holy salvation. Let none think it can be traversed by the unclean. Do you see who does not pass over it? The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it. No unclean pass over it. Did you see that? The one who is on this way is born again. The one who is on this way is washed, is justified, is sanctified by the Spirit of God and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. No unclean pass over it. They're all washed. They're all sanctified. They've all been born again. Everyone on it is a new creature in Jesus Christ. The unclean don't pass over. Nothing that defileth ever gets into Zion. And so we read of such descriptions as we find in 1 Corinthians, where we read about the unrighteous or the unclean shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul in the same breath says to the Corinthian church, and such were some of you, but you are washed now. You were sanctified now. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You're saved by grace. You're washed. None that are unclean pass over it. It is a constant and continuous way. It is long. The redeemed walk therein, we are told. Verse 9 at the end, the redeemed shall walk there. It's a lifetime of journey. It's a pilgrimage, being a Christian. It's following Jesus, walking on the way until we die and at last go into the heavenly Zion. It's a walk. We walk therein. It's continuous then. It's a constant way. The child of God doesn't get on this way and then go off. Oh, I think I'll be in the Word for a few years. I think I'll live in adultery for a few years. I think I'll just be an unclean person for a number of months. No. The redeemed walk therein. They walk therein. That's constant. These are the redeemed who make it to the end. Why? Because they have a bit of willpower? No. Because Jesus saves them. And Jesus, who saves them, keeps them. It's a happy way. Oh, this is a sermon in itself. Do you see how happy the people are that are on this way? Oh, the world is miserable. They take their drugs, they take their drink, they take their amusements, they live in their pleasures, but they are sad after it all. But the child of God can rejoice. The child of God can travel on the way to Zion singing. Do you see how happy the pilgrims are? The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They are a singing people. They have songs and they have joy upon their heads. And it is an everlasting joy, because it has no end. It begins when they get on the way and a song is put in their mouth, and then they sing the whole way on to the end, and even they sing on their deathbed, and they sing right into heaven itself, and in heaven they go on singing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. This pilgrim people are a singing people, and joy is on their heads. Everlasting joy, not never ceasing joy, eternal joy throughout all the ages of eternity. They are a happy people, a joyful people. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. And while they are happy on the way, you will notice that the end of the way is far happier, because it says, they shall return, they shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They're singing all the way. And then we read, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's heaven. Now, if anybody wants to try to convince me this is some wee place in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, you'll never persuade me. This is heaven. This is when Jesus takes the handkerchief out and wipes away every tear. And sorrow and sighing are all gone now. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more death. This Zion, never more sorrow or sighing enters into it. No more. They shall obtain joy. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, my faithful servant. Well done. This is the joy of the Lord. Enter into it. Enter into it and enjoy it. That's heaven. We've been looking at the theme of heaven. That's heaven. Joy. Everlasting joy. No more sorrow. No more sighing. Being with Jesus. Being with Jesus forever. Being with Jesus in glory. That's heaven. Do you not agree with me that that is a wonderful way? And that's why Jesus came, to make this way. Let me ask you, are you a true pilgrim? Are you like your father Abraham, a sojourner, a traveler, just passing through this world? Are you looking for the end of the journey? Are you looking for the city which have foundation, whose builder and maker is God? Are you in Christ? Are you a true pilgrim? Are you on the highway? Ask yourself that. You should know. You should know where your feet stand. You should know the way you're walking. Are you walking the broad road that leads to destruction? Are you walking in darkness? Or are you walking in this way? It's a well-lit up way. It's radiated by the word of God. There's no darkness in this way. The people in this way know. They know. They have the witness within. They know. Are you a pilgrim? Are you on the way? I trust you are. And if you're not, you better get on to it. You better get hold of Christ. You better find the Savior. And he calls you. He says, come to me. Will you not come?